worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. Then looking in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Verses 1 through 14, all of Romans chapter 13. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you for being sovereign over all of us, all of our lives, and every area of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for those persons that serve in government and serve in government capacities. And thank you for raising up people to serve you in all the walks of life. More and more, Lord, help us as the church to pray that you would send forth laborers into every area and every walk of life so that you will have faithful ambassadors serving you in every capacity. Thank you for us as the church and our opportunity to pray that more laborers would be sent forth to do your work and will in the world. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how you provide for us. Thank you so much that you'd give us leaders. Thank you so much that you'd give people authority and that you'd be looking for us out for us the entire while. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would respect authority more, acknowledging that it is you that gives it. Heavenly Father, I ask that we would invest more in our leaders, acknowledging that as they provide for us, we need to provide for them. Heavenly Father, I just ask that we'd be more a servant people, helping our neighbor. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, we want to share with you a resource article as we begin, and we'll be introducing an in-studio guest in just a few moments. But this article is entitled, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Single Day? And of course, on an ongoing basis here on the AFR Network, it's our encouragement that you would take it upon yourself to pray Psalm 91 every day. The reason being is we live in such a crazy, dangerous world. And the fact is danger comes in many different forms, in many different places. But Psalm 91 is a unique weapon in the Word of God for supernatural protection. And so our encouragement to you is that you'll pray it every single day. So this article does include the prayer within it. But again, the title of this article, and of course, if you'd like to email us to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, the title of the article, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Are you making it a priority to pray Psalm 91 every single day? If not, why not? A common response to this question may very well be often, well, I'm not a fanatic, and I don't see a need to pray this particular scripture every day. If that's you, I believe you'd be wise to change your mind and begin to pray this prayer every single day. Again, we live in a crazy, dangerous world that includes spiritual warfare raging everywhere we go. We who are followers of Christ need to be warrior-minded in our approach to how we follow and live for Christ in this dangerous world. In times of war, you look at, perceive, and plan everything in your life very differently in almost every way than you would during peacetime. Your whole perspective needs to be different. Certain priorities are critical every day because you are at war and you're living life on a battlefield. Not being alert, making unwise decisions, moving without a sense of urgency, any and all of these actions in wartime can literally cause someone to be killed. Psalm 91 is a unique weapon in Scripture that addresses many of the perils in life that any believer can face on any given day. Using this weapon daily helps us to be prepared for many of the attacks our enemy, the devil, may try to use against any and every one of us. Praying Psalm 91 daily helps us to mobilize the Holy Spirit and the angels of God to protect us and work on our behalf. Know this, in the dangerous and difficult world we live in, no one or nothing can protect you like God can. Our encouragement to you is that you make it a priority to pray Psalm 91 absolutely every single day. Let's take time to pray it even now. Lord, thank you for all those that make up our listening family. And thank you for all those that we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the title of that article, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? Again, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. And our encouragement is that you'll pray it daily for yourself and your family. And please do forward it to family and friends, fellow church members, individuals you know, saved or unsaved, because again, it's a seed in the life of any person anywhere. Hope that you will do that. We are very honored to have with us in studio once again, Mr. Robert Hall. He's the author of the book, Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. Robert, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Pastor Parker. How are you?
Doing real good, real good. Great to have you with us once again. You were with us several weeks ago, and you shared some about your book. And after we had a chance to talk further, I was wanting to have you come back. And feel like we didn't get too deep into the book. And I want to invite you to have the opportunity to share more about some of the message and messages of the book. So again, if you'll take a moment, I tell you what, if you'll take a moment first to pray for our listeners to have ears to hear what the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast, please do. And afterward, I want to ask if you'll further introduce yourself before we dive back into the message and mission behind the book then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Lord, again, we just thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity that we have to share, God, the journey that you have allowed us to be on. And as we pray today, God, I pray for law enforcement and I pray for our military, God, the people that you have put on the streets to help protect our well-being. We know that they are ordained by you. We pray, God, for the future law enforcement officers, God, and those that are debating about our military, just to let them know that you're going to choose the right one and that you're going to choose the direction. And Father, again, thank you for this show and this opportunity to share. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. If you would take time now, Robert, to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and who you are, and then we're going to get into talking about the message and mission of your book, Badge Unbroken.
Well, thank you, Joseph. And again, glad to be here with you and Isaac. Once again, we were here several weeks ago. I'm happy to be invited back. I'm going to take that as a good thing.
Yes, sir.
So a little bit about me. Again, I was born right here in South Tula, Tupelo, Mississippi, to a sharecropper and my mom, who worked on some of the properties around to raise six kids. I went through law enforcement, got in 1987 to Tupelo Police Department and advanced to the ranks of the first African-American deputy chief to be here in the city of Tupelo. However, this is my dream and this was my destiny. We talked earlier about seasons. This is something that I thought I was going to be able to do for the rest of my life, this law enforcement in Tupelo. However, as we travel along our journey, we learn that things happen and God has to allow things to happen to move us into maybe another season or another direction. So simply, I dropped from being one of the top law enforcement officers to the state to defending myself against my, for my freedom, fighting the same system that I had worked for and dedicated 20 years of my life for. Mm-hmm. And today, we wrote the book Badge Unbroken with co-writer Sandy Grisham about that journey, about my life, and about things that happened to us, not only as people, but as Christians and the direction that God may need us in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yes.
We'll jump in right here and take a break, and we're going to pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Robert Hall. He's the author of the book Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, yeah, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this
Music from the Walls Group with The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Robert Hall. He's the author of Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. And Robert, as we dive back in the book, I want to take a moment. It's just the short note at the beginning of the book that you wrote. I want to read it because I think it says a lot about the message of your book. But it just it's simply early in the book, a note from Robert. To our readers, life isn't always fair. This story is for those of you who've been unfairly treated or who can expect to be unfairly treated because of the color of your skin or your sex or your religion or any of the other myriad number of ways in which the human race divides itself. The book is also written for the reader interested in law enforcement, the legal field, for students and professors of criminal justice, but most of all, for the citizens in very real communities where some people can be mistreated because of their skin color. It is a real story of unfair treatment, discrimination, and survival. So again, I think that powerfully kind of draws out some critical parts of the story and the mission and message behind your book then. So, but in early in the book, one of the first chapters specifically, you say, I'm not supposed to be here. Can you tell why you named that for early chapter? What's the message behind that chapter?
Well, so coming up, the year of 1966, once the research was done for the book, number one, it was the year of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Then number two, my mom was 45 and my dad was 56. And for years as a toddler, I would constantly hear her say, you know, man, you're not supposed to be here. And I never really got it.
She would tell you that.
She would tell me that, you know, but she wouldn't tell me that she was proud that I was here. She loved me and all that. She would say that. And so that's the reason my mom said it. And I realized that, hey, you know. And then later in the year, she said, well, you're definitely supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I wrote that chapter like that. And then a lot of people think now and people tell us we're not supposed to be in certain places because of the color of our skin or because of our background, because of the family that we come from. But truly, we all are supposed to be here. When we was formed, God knew us before we were ever formed. And so
that's
we
right.
are supposed to be here. I'm just glad she cleared that up
right,
before
right.
she left us. So.
You know, interesting to think about that point. You know, very often people will either say it out loud or say it quietly. We didn't plan you or we weren't looking for you. But the fact is, every person is planned by God.
Planned by God, absolutely.
And here by his design, with his purpose, his calling. And so people and with all of our shortcomings, we may not plan certain things, but God always knows what he's doing. So every person is here by his design.
And that's absolutely. And it helped further because even going through the ranks of the police department and even in school, back in that time when I was going through the police department, people would often look at me different because of I was so young and the color of my skin. Mm-hmm. And they would let me know pretty much, you're not supposed to be here. But because my mom had prepared me for that, mm-hmm. and we knew biblically that I am supposed to be here, it really helped me.
Help you to deal with that.
Exactly.
That kind of, exactly. Somebody saying that to you. Right. Well, you chose to go into the field of being a police officer at a young age. And what led up to you doing it, going into that field so young?
Well, I always had a care for people that could not defend themselves and could not protect themselves. And coming up through school, you know, the way that I did as a poor kid, I was often bullied. I didn't have the best clothes. I wasn't the best student. And it just seemed like there was always a challenge against that. And then there was people that was always picking on the weaker vessel there. And I said, you know, I want to be in a position one day to help protect those people who cannot protect themselves. And so that kind of led up to what I'd like to do. I wanted to protect kids, and I wanted to protect the elderly. And so that kind of led me towards that field. Now, my first field in college was I applied for social work, and I realized real quick that wasn't going to work.
Okay.
And then I eased into criminal justice from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. And so how old were you when you went to the police academy then?
So I was 21 the day that I stepped in.
Okay.
I was actually accidentally hired by the Tupelo police chief. Again, you're not supposed to be here. They accidentally—
The devil wanted to keep telling you
that. The devil wanted
to
keep me out. So he accidentally hired me at age 20.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured out that this is wrong. You can't be here. You can't be around guns. You can't do this. What are we going to do with you?
Mm-hmm.
And so they stuck me in the dispatcher's office. I was to report on Sunday to the Mississippi Training Academy Law Enforcement. Mm-hmm. I turned 21 the day before on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So they held my paperwork until I could turn 21, and I hand-delivered it to the director of the academy on the day I attended. How that happened,
mm-hmm.
again, I wasn't supposed to be there, so—
Hmm. And so you began your career as a police officer early, and so all policemen go through the academy, is that right?
Absolutely.
Hmm. In pretty much any city, that's a requirement mm-hmm. then. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. And one of your chapter 7 is entitled Getting Married. Were you married so before you became a police officer or after?
I married just about less than a year after.
Okay.
And this is a lesson to future law enforcement and future men or whoever. When you're in certain positions, especially in law enforcement field, and you're young, you're going to face a lot of challenges in life. Mm-hmm. You want to stay out of the bars. You want to not be dating every lady that shows interest in you in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew who my wife was going to be early. She just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I had already claimed her. And so a few mm-hmm. months after I got married, Marvin Brown, a senior officer, said, look, you're getting too wild. You know, you're partying every weekend. You're going out. That's not going to work in this job.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you need to figure out how to settle down. And
mm-hmm.
so I said, well, look, I want to ask her to marry me anyway. I may as well do it early. And
mm-hmm.
so 36 years ago, this past August, you know, she said yes. So
mm-hmm. Okay. So you were 21 when you got married.
I was 21. She was 19.
Mm. And, you know, interesting, too, Robert, to think of that years ago, that was not unusual. But nowadays, it seems like many people say that was so young to get married.
Mm-hmm.
But our society seems to have changed in so many ways, though. But that was probably a pretty good age, I would think, you know, as far as marrying.
It was a good age for me. And again, it was wisdom of older men that had been in that profession that was protecting and guiding me. And that's why my circle now is mainly older men that I can gain wisdom from. And I would encourage any young person to get them a circle of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the smartest one in the room, I'm in the wrong place.
That's right.
But God has allowed me to have a circle of people of wisdom that can direct and guide me. And I listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a blessing from him.
That's good. That's good. Well, and so as you moved into serving on the police force, and again, you served, you said, for about right at 20 years then.
Yes.
So what would you say were some of the most challenging things you had to deal with as a police officer in this community?
I would say number one is being a young black officer and going in like I did. And dealing with different races in the community, dealing with the older white race, giving orders and having the authority and the police powers to arrest and so on. Mm-hmm. Back in the 80s, that was still tough. Even though officers had gone through it from the 60s and the 70s, it was still a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where some of my talent came in, was learning how to deal with the different races. So that was probably challenging, of learning how to connect with different races as a black man wearing a uniform. Mm-hmm. Number two is my own race. Mm-hmm. Telling me, you know, now that you have a uniform, you know, you're the uppity black man, and we have a problem with you. So how do you deal with that? So the races were the biggest challenges, I think, in the police department.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that probably for many people opens up a whole area that some people don't think about. The fact is, you have some people, sadly, in our society, both in most any black and white community, who may basically have a wrong attitude toward law enforcement.
Yes.
And so, and it's particularly like in the African-American community, sometimes because of things that have been said and done and attitudes, sometimes it may seem doubly hard to be an African-American police officer as well. Mm-hmm. So. Well, and so you moved up through the ranks and eventually became deputy chief then, is that correct?
That's correct.
And I guess that was an exciting thing for you.
It was exciting. It was challenging. Didn't think that that was my time to actually be there. Again, you're not supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. So I attained the rank of deputy chief after I graduated the FBI National Academy. Mm-hmm. And I was appointed by the chief then. Ron Smith was the chief that went out, and then the mayor at the time and the city council saw fit that I would be the next deputy chief of the police department. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd asked to be the chief, but there was another gentleman ahead of me, and I thought he so deserved that, Harold Chaffin, to be the chief. Mm-hmm. And then I accepted the number two position.
Right. Okay. And so once you stepped into that role of deputy chief then, what were the big challenges that you dealt with then?
The big challenges then was supervising a 75% to 80% white police department as a young black man. Mm-hmm. Even though I had great relationships with the officers there, but there was still the challenges. Some of the older white officers, you know, they just wasn't going to be supervised by someone like me. And that was a big challenge in itself. And now you're facing trying to prove yourself that you're going to be fair to everyone, and also facing trying to perform in your job for the community that you have sworn to protect and serve.
Mm-hmm. And so once you stepped into that role then, what were the problems that kind of led up to the challenges that you had to being deputy chief then?
Okay. So some of the problems is equality in policing on the street. And we had officers, you know, that wasn't treating citizens fairly on the street. And we needed to bring in certain information, maybe investigative tools to make sure that everybody was treated equally on the street. Number one is that what's supposed to happen, no matter who we are. But number two is you have to protect the integrity of the city of Tupelo and the police department, and you have to figure out a way to work with these issues.
Mm-hmm. And some of your handling of certain circumstances were challenged then by
very challenged. Very challenged. Everything that I did as a decision maker was challenged. And it was more challenging because the gentleman that was above me at the time that was the chief, he kind of centered the road and he wouldn't step up and say the truth and supervise like he should, because he was trying to please both sides, and I wasn't protected or supported by him like I should have.
Mm-hmm. And so eventually it led to a place where you actually ended up being relieved of your duty, is that right?
Absolutely so. And I'll tell you about the night. It's a Sunday night. Matter of fact, the skating rink is going strong. And as a deputy chief, I didn't like sitting at home. I wanted to make sure that I knew what was going on the street. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I needed to protect the officers that was out there. And so there was a young white kid that was hit on a bicycle right here in Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from the mom, which is in the book, said, hey, you know, my kid hit somebody. He didn't know who he hit. It was on the bypass. It was dark. And I told him to go to the nearest place and stop and call 911, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to that scene, and they were all out there, and the officers had tracked down the car.
Let me jump here and here, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Robert Hall. He's the author of the book, Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. We'll be right back. Music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Robert Hall. He's the author of the book, Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story. And Robert, would you tell our listeners, if someone listening wants to get a copy of the book, how they can do that?
Yes. So the book has been sold on Amazon. You also can download it on Kindle as well. And if you're in the Tupelo area, we have Reed's Bookstores that's carrying it. Also in Oxford, you have Square Books that's actually carrying it. And then there's other states as well. Can't name them all, but the main thing right now is Reed's Bookstores, Square Books, and Amazon.
Okay. All righty. If you'll back up there, you were sharing how that an incident happened where a child had been hit on a bicycle.
Yes, correct.
Okay, if you'll pick up there.
Yeah, I'll pick up right there. And so the thing about it is the gentleman did the right thing. He called his mom first. Everybody calls mom, right? And so he did exactly what she advised him to do. So by the time I drove to the scene there, there was this lady that said, hey, my son has been arrested, and an officer told him that he needed to be dead. And so
he needed to be dead.
And
the officer told him
that? The officer told him that. And just imagine a parent, but more so a mom, you know, hearing that about her son. It doesn't mean that the son is guilty or innocent. Something has happened that has to be investigated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, when I found out what officers that had arrested her son, one had just come off a incident where he was highly disciplined by me. They wouldn't not let me terminate him, but he had put his dog on several people, but particularly one young black gentleman. The dog had been put on him while he was handcuffed. We had proof of that, and the dog really assaulted his groin area and so on. And we were able to maybe discipline him, but the upper powers would not let us terminate. And this is one of the officers that had the kid. The other one was under investigation for a shooting in the back. of a black man in South Tupelo. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is now, you know, even though someone may be guilty, there is still a process and a system. Mm-hmm. Police officers, future police officers, if you listen to me now, we cannot be the judge and the jury on the street. That's why the system is there. We have to abide by our job. Mm-hmm. And so my job as a supervisor, I have to protect the guilty as well until they are proven to the point of where the system handles them. But mm-hmm. you also have to protect the integrity of the law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And so there had to be decision made. And so what we normally do is contact our chain of command, which was my chief at the time, and we decided, you know, that, hey, we needed to release this kid that night. Mm-hmm. He has been arrested. He's not going anywhere until we can investigate the situation. That's the Tupelo Police Department policy and procedure. And mm-hmm. then you have to investigate the scene mm-hmm. properly. None of that was done. Mm-hmm. And so that decision was made. But Joseph, as they read in the book, they will see that I'm the only one that remembered that conversation mm-hmm. that night. Mm-hmm. And so the same officer that had put the dog on the kid, handcuffed, was the same officer that was the main witness against me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how you match those up, mm-hmm. you know, of who's telling the truth and who's not. Mm-hmm. But that was the main witness that was able to get this whole charade started.
Mm-hmm. And so it when it was all said and done, then you ended up being just completely terminated?
Ended up going through investigation. The first investigation was determined by the attorney general that no wrong was done. Mm-hmm. That investigation wasn't good enough for the powers to be in Tupelo. Mm-hmm. They had to go further because now they had lost power. So they went back and gathered friends from a different agency to pick up this case, unbeknownst to the attorney general, and reinvestigate again, which led mm-hmm. to the indictment. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if you can't get him with the state attorney general, who's the chief law enforcement officer of the state, mm-hmm. you go to your buddies within the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And yes. So finally then they retried it, basically.
Yeah, they re-upped it at the point, and this is where we hit situations in life. Mm-hmm. When you have a family and people dependent on you to, you know, to be financially stable, to have a house, education, and all of that. Mm-hmm. So when this came down, yes, I was charged with felony charges, but I had an opportunity to be to leave with misdemeanor charges, but then walk into another role, which was higher and a higher salary than I was in. Mm-hmm. And so I made a decision that day to plead guilty to misdemeanors and to go into another role to protect my family. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing that's on the court records. When the judge asked me, was I guilty? My response was, is that is what the officers that's against me, who are all white, will say. This mm-hmm. is what they will say. And I said, no, I am not guilty, but I'm pleading guilty. Mm-hmm. And then they let it go on. But here's the thing that gets me, Joseph. Mm-hmm. When you tell the truth, you're prosecuted. But then you can sidestep the truth to try and get in a better situation. And it's okay as long mm-hmm. as they got you. Mm-hmm. And I know we had talked about being the raw truth, and that's what this book is saying, and I wanted to share that. So right. Life is not always fair, mm-hmm. but God allows things to happen to push you into your purpose and to let you know that that season mm-hmm. is over.
Well, because we have limited time, we'll just kind of move forward, though. But so in other words, your career as a law enforcement officer came to an end. And you were just really kind of up in the air and just really looking to God about, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord redirected you.
The Lord redirected me. I ended up in community and economic development, which was the best move that ever could have been made. Mm-hmm. Then I ended up working for one of the largest industries in the world, auto manufacturers, which was Toyota. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. God had directed me in another direction, but I still wanted to be a cop. Mm-hmm. So I pushed against the direction that he had put me in,
mm-hmm.
and I went back to the police department.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to push back against God.
That's right. That's right. So that didn't last then, I guess. Then.
It didn't last. I did that for a few years, but the opportunity had come for me to go back to the police department, and mm-hmm. man, I jumped on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that I think God allowed that to happen is he allowed me to see that that door needed to be closed.
Mm-hmm. But that season really was up.
That yeah. season was over, and God allowed that door to be closed, and I sure am glad that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I still have many friends in law enforcement, many friends in the community, and I am so happy with what I'm able to do now. Traveling to Germany, talking about police and civil society,
mm-hmm.
traveling to other states, talking about it, you know, promoting the good officers mm-hmm. on the street that's needed, mm-hmm. but also calling out the bad ones, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Now, do you ever have opportunity to be able to talk to, like, maybe in a public school setting about law enforcement or something along that line? Is that a door that opens from time to time or not at this
yeah,
point?
Yeah, it's a door that has opened in several churches, you know, community opportunities. Mm-hmm. I am working on a presentation now that will allow me to be in schools. I haven't been called for those yet, but I want to be that speaker. I want those opportunities to go and tell this story, because it's not only to a future law enforcement officer, military, but it's also to regular people that can understand how the system needs to work. And so mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the opportunities if anybody would love to have me.
Okay. Okay. Would you just take a moment to pray for more young folks to go into law enforcement and the armed services, people that God is calling to that direction? Would you pray for that?
I will. Lord, I would just pray this morning, God, and we pray, God, in the area of the prayer of Jabez. We want the territory, God, to be enlarged for
yes,
people
Lord.
That are thinking about the law enforcement, the government area that you have ordained. And we pray, God, that you regulate their minds and that you direct them to the right people that can mentor them and that
Thank
can
you.
Encourage them. And they know that, hey, this is a purpose that you have chose from them. And then also the ones that's also currently in law enforcement, God, and we actually protect them and their families, protect our military, God, and their families. And we want you to protect the leadership that are leading and directing these people in your direction. We pray for the colleges that's preparing the criminal justice students. We pray for the organizations that and the high schools, oh, God. And these prayers we ask in your son, Jesus' name. We love you and amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, share with our listeners, if someone wants to get a copy of the book, again, the title of the book, Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story, tell them again how they can get the book.
Absolutely. Badge Unbroken, The Robert Hall Story can be found on Amazon. It can be found at the Reed's Bookstores in the state of Mississippi, Oxford, Mississippi, Scrapbooks, and several other platforms. And I also can be contacted personally for it.
All righty. Father, I do thank you for our brother Robert. Thank you, Lord, for just the example he is to individuals and young people as well, to see how that, again, he was one who walked in his calling early in his life and you redirected him and he simply stepped into his next season and calling as well. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that all of us go through seasons in life. Our job is to listen to your word and your spirit, to follow and obey you. Help us to know, Lord, that even when we go through storms and difficulties, you always have a plan and you have the next steps. Our job is to listen to you, obey you, and follow you. Teach us to live that way. And thank you again for the example our brother Robert is. Thank you for his life, and thank you for the message in the book itself. Bless the book and the message indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. And Father, I too pray more and more, raise up more individuals that will go into law enforcement and will go into the armed forces to serve you as ambassadors in those capacities. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, again, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you want to make that step in your life, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now and fully commit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins and all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're very much wanting to connect and be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And if you're wanting to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, entitled, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? Simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.